You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Mark chapter 10. I want to just do, we're going to just share a little bit, and then we're going to start dunking people. And I'm having spine surgery in a couple weeks, so when we dunk them, I don't know if they're coming back up. Just, you know. I'm just kidding. Jeff Odell, we're doing tubby time this morning. He'll be in there with me. I said I wasn't going to say that in a meeting, but I can't help it. It amuses me. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation in 30-point font on my laptop screen. It's awesome. And I'm going to start with verse 46, Mark 10, 46. When Jesus and his disciples had passed through Jericho, a large crowd joined them. Upon leaving the village, they met a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road named Timai, the son of Timai. I mean, it's a great name. Just say Timai. Okay. When he heard that Jesus from Nazareth was passing by, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, in my affliction, heal me." Those in the crowd were indignant and scolded him for making so much of a disturbance. Yeah, I'm reeling it in. Disturbance. Oh. Those in the crowd, I'm just going to reread that so I stay on track, were indignant and scolded him for making so much of a disturbance, but he kept shouting with all his might, "Son of David, have mercy on me now and heal me." I'll stop there for a second. Stop holding back. Stop holding back. I feel you. And I feel your history. And I could go grab some of you by the hand because I know you're holding back because you think you're in this place with a mixed group that you can't shout the way that you used to shout. You can't be the way that you used to be because I don't even know why. I know you. You already weird. A peculiar person. That's right. Come on now, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, can I be a little more offensive? There is one church. You want to see things that get me cantankerous? It's when people say, "Well, I'm a Reformed Christian." Or I'm, you know, an Armenian Christian. Or I go to a Korean church. Or I go to a Chinese church. Or I go to a black church. Or I go to a white church. Look, you can't put anything in front of the body of Christ. I'm speaking reality. I'm not talking to, I don't care. I'm telling you, and the Lord rebuke me if I'm wrong, but I don't care about the culture of the land. I love people, but I want his culture on the earth. And around his throne right now, there is sound and there is light and there is motion. And around Jesus in this moment, there was a guy who out of his belly and desperation, even though he could not see with his natural eye, he could feel that something was passing by that he had to grab a hold of. And when you get into that place and that space, it doesn't matter what you think is decent. It doesn't matter what you think is orderly. You're gonna shout from your belly and say, "Son of David, do not pass me by." That is the moment that we are here in New England right now. And the problem is some of us have had a taste of revival in seasons past. And so it's almost like we are inoculated against the move of God. And so we feel like we got to shut up. We got to close up because our history isn't in the now. But sometimes you got to look into your past and you got to look into your future and you've got to say, "That kingdom comes come right now. It's not about me. It's about what's around me. I got to elevate the atmosphere and put the spirit that's in my spirit out in front and say, Son of David, do not pass me by. Okay. Verse 49. Jesus stopped and said, call to him to come to me. So they went to the blind man and said, have courage. I mean, I like how they shift their tune. You know, one moment they're like, hey, dude, shut up. You're annoying. You're a weird, like, you're not part of our group. Like, you're a first-time visitor. Take a step back, buddy. We're the real disciples. And then the King of Glory says, hey, call to him to come to me. Oh, hey, guy. Well, I just want to welcome you to the Bridge Metro West. Come on. Oh, the King of Glory wants to meet with you right now. Come on up. Step on up. Hey, everybody, look, it's the blind man. That's what happens when Jesus steps down to the middle of religion. When the structures of man come subservient to the structures of the kingdom, that's what happens. Have courage. Get up. Jesus is calling you. That's what I say to you guys. Have courage. Take courage. Get up. Get up. I mean, you have to get whatever you want to do right now, but get up. Jesus is calling to you. This weekend, that's what we're talking about with Ken Fish. Get up. Take courage. Jesus is calling to you. Do not come under the atmosphere of your workplace, of your week. You are above. You are beyond. Why? Because he is. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus above your circumstance. Why? Because the King of Glory is above your circumstance. You can walk through valleys of the shadow of death, but you better keep walking. Keep moving. Change is coming. You are seated in a different place. You are in your circumstance, but you are above it. You are in a war, but it's already been won. There is what's happening here and what's happening there, and the journey and the walk is to connect the two so that everybody will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Fired up. So Jesus said to him, well, wait a second, verse 50. So he threw off his beggar's cloak. Oh, come on now. You want to change, you want to shift in your identity, you better do what Jesus says when he says, hey, call the man, come to me. And then his pastors and leaders say, hey, take courage, get up, the king is calling you. I tell you today, get up, throw off your beggar's cloak, throw off the cloak of your history and what is behind you. You are not a slave to sin anymore. You are free by the blood of the Lamb. Sin shall not be master over you. Oh, you are in Christ and Christ is in you. John 17, he said, Father, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one. He's the King of Glory. I'm thinking he's going to have his way. So we got to just start throwing off some of the elements of what we think are our earthly culture and say, wait a second. He said, Father, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one. And any other voice that whispers in your ear that does not speak that truth, you rebuke that spirit in the name of the Lord and said, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm part of the body of Christ, the church. Oh, and he's at the head. There's one holy baptism, one spirit, one father, one son, and he has come upon us in glory. This was supposed to be short. Throw off your beggar's cloak today. So he threw off his beggar's cloak, jumped up, and made his way to Jesus. If I'm not careful, you guys are going to start doing some kind of Jericho march in here. Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? As if he didn't know. The man replied, my master, please let me see again. And Jesus responded, your faith heals you. Go in peace with your sight restored. All at once, the man's eyes opened and he could see again. And he began at once to follow Jesus, walking down the road. He identified Jesus as master, and then he followed. Could it be that simple? I think it could be. When you call to Jesus like he's your only hope, guess what, guys? There will be people in the crowd that will be resentful. They will be disgruntled. They will be displeased. They will be annoyed, offended, irritated. I've never been irritated in my life, so I don't know what that's like. People in your circle of acquaintances will attempt to discourage you. People who think they know better might even scold you. But let me tell you, when you call to Jesus like that, he will answer you. How did this really happen? Now, your traditional translations, well, your classical translations will say blind Bartimaeus, or just Bartimaeus. We know him as blind Bartimaeus. But when he heard that Jesus was near, he called out. You know, a lot of times we do altar calls, and I watch. I see all the people that have been in this life for a long time, and you stand up, and you're in your niceness and all that. Look, I came up in revival. And when you come up in revival, I understood that I have to respond. I have to get out of my comfort zone, whatever that looks like. And when that altar opened, man, I tried to be the first man in and the last man out. Why am I standing here alive today? Why am I standing here in the anointing that's on me today? And it's not because of, like, look, I'm like top 10 doofuses in this room. But it's because for years, I was first man in, last man out. Man, the people would come out with the backpack vacuum cleaners and start, you know, vacuuming around me before I came out of what the Lord was speaking to me. I look around, there's nobody left. You've got to be a first responder. If you are inoculated against revival, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? You just got to turn and face him again. That disillusionment, it's nobody else's fault. You are responsible for your heart. You are responsible for your vessel. That stuff, you cast it off. If there's a spirit of heaviness on you, you put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's Christ in you. He is able, and he has given you the ability to step out of the malaise. The breakthrough's already happened for you. You just got to follow through again. And now you're in a season of life where you remember the things that happened to you, but now you're in a season where God wants to make things happen through you. That means you got to reach out, sacrifice your time, sacrifice your comfort, and pull someone else out of the muck and mire and raise them up into the experiences that you had in your history in the now. Amen. Not in my notes, but man, I'm talking to somebody here. I got 2 weeks till I have surgery. I'm ruthless. It is all right. I'm looking forward to a few weeks off, you know. Good nap. Amen. I know. Yeah, it's good. If I get healed, can I still take the month of August off? Some crazy stuff has happened in that tub. I'm telling you, we've seen signs and wonders and miracles already. All right. Might be my day. But Son of David, do not pass us by. Verse 48. Those in the crowd were indignant and scolded him for making so much of a disturbance. It's in the Word of God. That's what happens when you take something out of context. If you take scripture out of context, we invite you to join Miss Lisa's elementary school class on Sunday so you can learn the Word. So when you call to Jesus like he's your only hope, he'll answer you. How did this really happen? Jesus is near. The presence of God is near. He calls out. That's what you have to do. When you feel the whisper, when you feel the hint, if you're not even sure, you call. Draw near to him while he is near. And yes, he's in us, he moves upon us, but there are times where he comes in and he deposits a special weighty impartation of his presence and the manifest reality of where we are right now. And you can almost feel the molecules of the atmosphere begin to crackle and snap and pop. It's Rice Krispies in the spirit. That's what's happening. It's the anointing of the living God. Now I'm going to get some kind of message and be like, well, the Rice Krispie guys were demonic entities, so. I get some weird messages, guys. When you are desperate like Bartimaeus, you got to understand nothing was going to stop him. His friends weren't going to stop him. Strangers weren't going to stop him. The disciples weren't going to stop him. But Jesus stops for the voice of faith. He stops for the voice of hunger. See, this morning, when we were in worship, I just kept saying, oh, you're worthy, God. It doesn't matter. You're worthy. You're worthy, because I know that's true. When there's moments where I just feel static in my own mind, in my own life, or I'm tired or whatever's going on, I break it down to the simple math, because God is in the simple math. Sometimes in our propheticness, we get caught up in the static and say, oh, God might be here, or he might be that, or he might be doing this, or I might be moving in this direction, or he might be moving me in that. I don't know what season I'm in. He's in the simple math. It just breaks down to, God, you are worthy. Blessed are you, O Lord of hosts, who is this King of glory. It's the Lord strong and mighty. Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We ascribe to you all riches and power and dominion and strength to him who sits upon the throne. It's just the word of God. I'm not doing anything special. I'm just quoting scripture, because God is in the simple math. It's the most powerful piece of advice I ever got in my 20s. I was caught up in all of that static. And an apostolic figure met with me in his office. And I was just coming out of nowhere, out of this little church in Milford. And he pastored a church that went from 100 to 500 and then to, I don't know, there are thousands now. And he said, God is in the simple math. Get out of all that stuff. He let me talk for like an hour. I wouldn't even have that much patience. Maybe I would. He said, he's not in all that stuff. I've found that he's in the simplicity, not in the complexity of our thought. So what happens when Jesus responds? Ooh, things get different. The ones who once ridiculed you will now recognize you. Some pastors, like, they like to talk about your haters will look at you and say, oh, the King of glory is calling to him. The King of glory is responding to her. Those who once ridiculed you will now recognize you. What happens when Jesus responds? The blind man threw off his beggar's cloak. There was a shift in his identity. He went from beggar to son. He went from orphan to adoption, just at the sound of Jesus' voice. When the sound of your voice meets the sound of his, your identity shifts. Your identity begins to change before the miracle comes. You might feel like a beggar. You might feel like you can't see out of your situation. But if you respond to the words, take courage. Don't wait for it. Take it. It's on the table. He put a table in the presence of the enemy. And on that table is the fruit of courage. Go grab that fruit and take a big old bite out of it, because it's for you. Take courage. If you respond to the voice of the Lord, you will begin to throw off the things that used to mark you in your sickness, in your infirmity, in your weakness, in your frailty, in your fear. Because perfect love comes. You will go from a beggar to a bride, a sinner to a son, an addict to a daughter of the King. You are now children of royalty. And the end result, you will follow Jesus wherever he takes you. You can take your identity to the cross, but you can't take it through the cross. I don't care what kind of church you go to, what kind of church you went to, You can't put any other name. Look, and I understand why people do it, but it still makes me cranky because look, when the King of Glory moves, it all looks the same. Whether it's in a village in Africa, whether it's in China, Central America, a mega church, a mini church in Scotland, in Hebrides Revival, in Welsh Revival, in Azusa Street, and all across the world in the 90s, and even here today, when the King of Glory moves, I don't care what the color of your skin is. I don't care what your history is. I don't care what your vocation is. I have seen executives of corporations crumble under the weight of the living God. Dignity is just looks a lot different when the King of Glory steps in the room. Once you come to Jesus, everything changes. So whether you're being baptized here today or not, let him change you. He will comfort all who mourn. He will bind up the brokenhearted. And as you serve him, as you become a waiter to the King, he will refresh you. He will cause the strength that you have spent in that previous season to become renewed like the wings of an eagle. And all you have to do is stretch out and let the wind of the Spirit carry you. Don't fight it. Don't go the other way. Go in the direction that he's blowing. John 14:21 says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus, I pray right now that you would manifest yourself in this room. In all grace and mercy, would you step into this place, oh God? Would you step in with the fullness of your character? Oh, would you manifest your glory upon each one here? They made the decision to step into this room today. King of glory, Son of David, do not pass us by. Oh God, we need you above all else. We need your presence. We need you to shake us, to wake us, God, because your kingdom is on the move. Even in this region, there is something happening in this atmosphere. God, I've heard from the words of prophets from multiple nations just in the last 4 weeks, there is something shifting in New England. There's been a voice coming out of Africa. There's been a voice coming out of Tennessee. There have been voices coming out of New England and from the West Coast. Oh, something is shifting in New England. God is looking and searching for people in this land that would say and shout, Son of David, do not pass us by. Come, King of Glory. I know I yell a lot, but it's okay. I'm excited. We're going to start baptizing people. But before we do that, if you're here or you're online and you either walked away from the Lord, maybe you grew up in church, but you don't know him like this. This is that time. You can step into the fullness of the experience of revival where God moves upon you in fire, and glory. It's all good, but you got to give yourself to him. I don't care how long you've been coming here. I don't care how long you think you've been doing this thing. And maybe you're watching, you don't even know who the Bridge Metro West is. You don't know who this guy is in shorts and a t-shirt yelling on a microphone. This little Birk sandals. It's time to identify him as the primary authority in your life. That's all we're saying. And he will guide you. He will transform you. He will turn your mourning into dancing. Like, I don't dance. You don't want to see me dance either. I mean, some people do. I know. I just kind of... So we're all going to pray a prayer together. We're going to do business with God, and then we're just going to start dunking people in the waters of baptism. Maybe you're in this room and you haven't made that decision. Maybe you've never been baptized. I know we did meetings this week and we taught people about baptism and all that kind of stuff for the people that are being baptized, but maybe you just need to be baptized today. I don't know. You didn't bring a change of clothes? I don't care. We got towels. We dry you off. We got a fan somewhere. We'll just blow over you. Yeah, just step outside for a couple minutes, you know. Let's pray this together. Just pray after me. Everybody, let's just support what's happening. God, I want to know you. And I accept your gift of life to me. I accept Jesus' death and his resurrection from death. That reversed the curse of sin and death in my life. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I turn from my way and I turn toward your way. Would you please reveal your love to me now? And I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And God, now I just pray that you would move, that you would breathe, that your spirit would blow over each one that released that sound. Those who know you and those who just met you and those who have become reacquainted with the beauty of the Lord in this moment. Would you reveal the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord. God, would you elevate the atmosphere in this room and even online. God, would you elevate the frequency of our inner man, the spirit man, to vibrate with the vibration of the kingdom. Oh God, would you come in and just cause the atmosphere to snap, crackle, and pop with the eternal presence of the living God, Ruach HaKodesh. Blow your winds in this place. Blow your winds in this place. Blow your winds in this place. No fear in love. No fear in love. Let him move upon you. Just say yes to him. There's no fear. No fear. No fear. Let him get into those secret places, those hidden spaces. No fear. He just wants to bring his oil into the deep down, the deep down, the deep down stuff of your life and transform you in the from the inside out, not in the order that we see fit, but in the order that he sees for you. Oh, in a twinkling of an eye, could we be changed this morning? In a twinkling of an eye, could we be changed this morning? Do it in our day, God. Do it in our day. Do it in our day that we would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Once again, once again, once again, once again, elevate the atmosphere of this place. Into the mysteries of your face. Pentecostal fire, Pentecostal fire, Pentecostal fire. You don't have to understand it all. Just let them wash over you. Just let him wash over you. Maturity comes on the other side of encounter. It's a walk, but in this moment, allow him to bring you into infancy again. Pentecostal fire, Pentecostal fire. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, move upon us, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the living God. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.